Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Shlomo Perlstein. Maseches Yevamos has been dedicated in honor of Rabbi Aaron Kaufman, Rosh Yeshivas Ateres Shmuel of Waterbury.
Peches Amud Beis, towards the bottom of the Amud. The Mishnah says that this woman needs to get a get from both the first husband and the second husband. So the Gemara asks, Bishlama from the first husband, she has to get a get because she's an Eishes Ish. But why does she need a get from the second husband? She was never married to him. So the Gemara says, there's a chashash. Rav Huna says, there's a gzeira, shema yoimru, girish zeh v'nosa zeh. People will not realize that she was never halachically married to the second husband. People will think that she really was married as the first husband divorced her and she married the second husband. And then if they see that she leaves the second husband without a get, people will come to say that an eshes ish can marry l'shuk without a get. The Gemara asks on that from the Mishnah Daf Tzadik Beis, where she was just niskadish to a second husband. She didn't do nisuin. Over there, we don't say that she gets a get from her second husband. And if it were just because of the chashash shema yoimru, people will make a mistake and say that an eshes ish can leave her husband without a get, what difference does it make whether she was just niskadish or she actually did nisuin, in which case we do make the second husband write a get for her. So the Gemara's maskana is, in the Reisha where she did nisuin, she did an isser, there they canceled her. In the Seifa, where she just was niskadish to her second husband, she didn't actually do nisuin, where they didn't do an isser, they did not give a knas to her in such a situation. When the Gemara says at the maskana that when they did an isser, she gets a knas. When they didn't do an isser, she doesn't get a knas. Is the Gemara falling away from what the Gemara originally said, Shema Yoimru, that people will make a mistake and say that an eshes ish can leave her husband's house without a get? Did the Gemara fall away entirely from the original reasoning, or do the two svaras go hand in hand? When she did an isser, we canceled her and we said they were chayshish for the gzeira of Shema Yoimru. That's how Rashi learns l'chayra, that's mefurish in the Rosh. The Gemara is not just saying it's a simple knas. The Gemara is saying, when she did an isser, we canceled her and said we're chayshish Shema Yoimru. If she didn't do an isser, we're not going to be chayshish for that chashash. The Rosh brings the riff, it's mashma that it's a knas and nothing to do with the original chashash of gzeira Shema Yoimru, eshes ish yoytze b'lo get. Now the Rambam in Perek Yud Halacha Dal Mehilchas Gerushin writes as follows. A woman who married a second husband based on the get she got from her first husband that was possible, she needs a get from her second husband, Midrabanon, so people should not say that an eshes ish goes out of her husband's rishus without a get. She needs a get from her first husband to matter her to marry anyone else as she's, in the meantime, an eshes ish from her first husband. The Rambam writes, V'nesra al shneim lo'ilum. She may not marry either her first husband or the second husband that she married b'toas forever. Afal pi shenival b'shkoga. Even though she was nival b'shkoga to the second husband, she really thought she was allowed to, why can't she go back to her first husband? K'dei shelo yoimru hechzer zeh grushasai achar sheniseis. Because people will say that he's machzer grushasai. People won't know that the second kiddushin, the condition she had with her second husband was invalid. They'll think that the first husband divorced her, the second husband married her, and now, after the second husband divorced her, she's going back to her first husband, and they'll say that it's mutter to machzer grushasai after she married somebody else. And that's a mufurish alav in the Torah. Now the Mishnah Melech asks over there, why is she asur to her second husband? True, she can't go back to her first husband, because it looks like he's being machzer grushasa, but why can't she stay with her second husband? Let her get a get from her first husband and stay with her second husband. Now you can't say, because she's a saita, and a saita is usher to the baal and to the bayil, the Rambam says mefurish, she's considered a shagagas. Just like she can't return to her first husband only because people will say, it looks like he's a machzer grushasa, the Rambam doesn't say because she's a saita. So you see, she doesn't have a din of a saita. She's a shagig. So for the second husband, let's have the same halacha. She's considered a shayig, and therefore she'd be mutter to him. So the Mishnah Melech answers, that's pashut, that she can't go to the second husband because it's a knas. The Chachom canceled her that she can't go to her second husband. And the Rambam just answers, why is she usher to her first husband? You can't say the Chachomim can't send her to be with her first husband. Why should he lose out? He didn't do anything wrong. So for that, the Rambam answers, there's another reason she can't go back to her first husband, because people will say that he's machzer bushasai la'achar shenisseis. Now that's clear in the Rambam. The reason she can't go back to her first husband is because of Gzeira Shema Yomru. However, the Mishnah Lamelech brings other Rishonim that it's because of a knas, not because people will make a mistake and say that it's mutter to be machzer bushasai after she marries. Rather, it's a simple knas. Just like she's also to go to her second husband, she can't be with her first husband for the same reason. Now, the Mishnah Lamelech brings that according to those Rishonim that hold the Isser is because of knas, the whole machzer bushasai can actually be a way of anchoring the knas. The Nebuchadnezzar Yosef quotes Yerushalmi that says that the reason the Chachamim canceled her and made her get a get from the second husband is, as the Yerushalmi says, Kedi Levarer Yisuru Shel Rishon, to, as the Nebuchadnezzar Yosef explains, so to speak, establish and anchor the Isser that she can't marry the first husband once again. Now that she got a get from her second husband, it looks like that he's machzer grushasei mishenisseis if he takes her back. So it's not that he can't marry her the way the Rambam explains, that she can't go back to her first husband because it looks like he's machzer grushasei mishenisseis. The other way around, Chazal cancelled her that she can't go back, and therefore they set up a situation where she'll look like she's being a machzer grushasei mishenisseis if she goes back to her first husband, and they force the second husband to give her a get. But the starting point is that Chazal wanted to cancel her, not that technically it works out that there's a chshash of Shema Yomru. The Shema Yomru is really the goal of the takana to asser her to her first husband. But even without the Shema Yomru, she'd be asser. The Shema Yomru that comes out of the chiyuv get is just a way to guarantee that she'll never go back to her first husband, to strengthen the knas. But it starts primarily as a knas, not that technically people will come to make a mistake. Now the Mishnah Lamelech declares, is there a difference between the Rambam's reason that she can't come back to her first husband simply because people will make a mistake and say that he's being machzer grushasai, or to the Mahalach of the other Rishayim that she can't go back to her first husband because it's a knas? So first the Mishnah Lamelech entertains the idea that the Nafka Mina is, what happens if the second husband dies before he actually has a chance to give her a get? If you say because it's a machzer grushasai, that's why she can't go back to her first husband, that doesn't apply in a case where he died before giving a get. However, if you say it's because of a knas, so then it won't make a difference if he actually wound up giving a get or not. L'maisa, the Mishnah Lamelech rejects that nafkamina. He says, in any case, she'll be usher to go back to her first husband, since the halacha is that she has to get a get from her second husband, even in the case where the second husband died before he had a chance to give a get. But since people know that he had to give a get, people will assume naturally that he gave the get already, and they'll still come to say that the first husband is being machzer grushasai mishenisseis, and therefore she's usher, even if it's not als knas, even if it's als machzer grushasai, since people will not know that in fact he didn't give a get, she'll be usher to go back to the first husband in any case. However, the Mishnah Lamelech does except that there's a nafka mina between the time of the Rambam and the time of the other Rishayim, in a case where she was mezana, she didn't get married, she just was mezana with somebody else. If it's als machzer grushasai, there's no chashash al machzer grushasai, the Rambam would allow her to return to her first husband in this case. But if you say it's because of knas, so then there's still reason to cancel her and not allow her to marry her first husband. Now, although the Mishnah Lamelech writes that's a nafka mina in a case where she was mezana, there's room to be chaylik on that. We find that we were more machmer in several knosses by a woman who married shelo kedin while her husband was still alive than we find that when a woman was mezana tachas baila, they were machmer less. In our Mishnah, we say havlad mizeh mizeh mamzer. By a saita that was mezana, we're not going to say that the child of her and the baal or her and her husband will be a mamzer. We were more machmer in certain instances by a woman who married Shleikedin than a woman who was Mazana Shleikedin. Therefore, it's not muchach by the fact that the Rishayim hold, they cancelled her to return to her first husband only al Tzaknas and al Tzmach Tzagrushosei, that if she was Mazana, it would be the same din. It could be if she married, she's also to go back to her first husband. If she was Mazana, there won't be such a halacha of Teitzei from her first husband. The Gemara starts the sugya later on in the Amud of Yesh Koyach Be'arach HaChomim Lakar Dover Menat Torah, to the Chom of a Koyach to be Oikar something Menat Torah. The Gemara starts by bringing the Mishnah of Ein Tormin Menat Tomei Alator. One may not be Mafresh Truma from Peiros Tmeim to be Matir and Mesakein Peiros Tahirin. Why not? Rashi says, because Hefzad Koyin. If you give the Koyin Peiros Tahirin for Truma, he can eat it. If you give him Peiros Tmeim, he can't really do anything with it except use it for firewood. So because it's Hefzad the Koyin, that's why Ein Tormin Menatome Alator. The Rivan Taisus quotes, writes a different reason. The Gemara says, Titein Loi V'loi Lo'ir, it's a mitzvah to give it to the Koyin and not to give it to him that he should have to burn it. Taisus, however, is Doicha that reasoning. Taisus brings a Gemara in Psachim Daf Lamed Gimel that says that the pasuk of Titein Loi V'loi Lo'ir, that we darish him, you're not to give him payers that are tomei for Truma, is talking about a case where it didn't have Shasa Kaisha. It's talking about a case where he was toilish the peiros, he plucked the peiros when he was tummy, and there was water on the peiros, so it was huchshar and metame the first second that it came off the tree. That's called lehoyol shasa kosher, and the Gemara says that's what the pasuk's talking about. But stam to give truma tameya that the peiros could have theoretically stayed Torah, they happened to be come tummy afterwards, but in the beginning it had shasa kosher, such a case. The pasuk doesn't say titen loy, and the chachamim won't dash on that v'loy lo'oyroy, since it did have a shasa kosha. Now, could be the Rivan meant that they were geyser, a case of hoyloy shasa kosher, or to a case of loy hoyloy shasa kosher. Because in a case where loy hoyloy shasa kosher, it's not true with the chachamim were geyser, even in the case where it had shasa kosher. The re that Taisus brings learns the reason one may not be mafresh minat tomei ala Torah is because it's like being mafresh min aro ala yofa. The Torah says it's a mitzvah to be mafresh min a yofa. It says mikol chelba, you're supposed to be mafresh from the better payers. If he's mafresh from tomei, he is being mafresh from payers that are not as good. It's considered that he's mevatel the din of mikol chelba. He's not being mafresh min a yofa. Rabbi Chanan Mekavet Torah Simon Samach Himmel Oisvav has a different mahalach in explaining why one may not be mafresh min atomei ala Torah. Rabbi Chanan says, just like if somebody is mekabel nazirus on himself while he's standing in a beis hakvaros, he's considered as one who's metami himself as a nazir, and we don't say that he started out betuma, it's not considered being metami oneself, rather the kabbalah of nazirus in a matzav of tuma is gufa, considered a being metami the nazirus. The same way, if somebody is mafresh truma, on Peiros Tmeim, it's as if he were Metame Truma Tahira. Since it says Mishmeres Truma, so you have to make sure that it doesn't become Tomei, and he's making the Haloshem Truma on Peiros that are Tomei right now. What's happening in effect is that he's being Metame Truma Biyadayim. Therefore, one may not be Tahirim Minatome Elator because of the Isser of being Metame Truma. And the Gemara continues. If a woman is Mafresh, Peiros Tmeim to be Truma on Peiros Tahirim, B'shayig, the truma is chal. B'mezid, he didn't do anything. The truma is not chal. Now there's a machloikis, Rav Chista and Rosam Rav Aishia. What does it mean, loy osav loy klum, the truma is not chal, if it's b'mezid? According to Rav Chista, it means nothing happened. The truma that he was mafresh is not truma at all, and he has to be re-mafresh truma entirely. According to Rav Nosam Rav Aishia, the truma that he was mafresh is truma. It has the same truma, the Gabi itself, when it says that if it was mafresh, truma tmeya, le'osav le'klum, he didn't do anything, that's going on the tikkun of the shirayim. To say that the rest of the peiros are mutter to eat, that we say is not chal. But legabe itself, legabe the peiros of truma itself, those peiros do have a din of truma. Now the Gemara asks, on Rav Chista that holds that the truma is not chal at all, we find a Mishnah, Toram Kishois V'nimtzis Mara, if he was mafresh, something I guess like squash, and it turned out to be bitter. So the halacha is truma v'yachzer v'yitrin. It's truma, and he has to be mafresh again to be mater the shirayim. And we don't allow him to eat the peiros until he gives truma once again. You see, l'chaira, it's mefurish, like Rav Nosson Rav Aishia, that the truma is chal, but he has to be mafresh again. And we don't say, like Rav Chista, that the truma wasn't chal at all. So the Gemara answers, of course, over there, it's Truma V'Yachzer V'Yitroim, because it was B'Shagi. Rav Chisda just says that it's not Truma at all in a case where it was amazing. But it was B'Shagi. Rav Chisda is also Maida that he was Mafresh has a Chalais Truma, and just afterwards, he asked the Mafresh once again. So the Gemara asks, if the case of Kishay Sarimsis Mara has a din of a shagig, so then let it be regular truma. Like it says, somebody who's mafresh mitamarei alator b'shagig truma say truma. So then why do we say truma v'yachzer v'yitroim? So the Gemara answers, it's not really a shagig. It's a shagig karev l'mezid. He could have checked it. Iboile l'mitamei. He should have tasted it to see that it wasn't mara. And since he didn't check it, even though he's a shagig, but he's a shagig karev l'mezid, and therefore Chazal said, Truma v'yachzer v'yitroim. Now why, again, is he a shagig karev l'mezid? Because the Gemara says, he boiled it, he should have tasted it. Now the question is, how could he taste it? It's tevel. So Tosfos writes that he should have been mafresh a mashu, a little bit. He should have tasted that little bit that he was masakin, and seen, if it tastes fine, so then he can mafresh from these kishos on the rest of the crap, and this way, he's not going to be over any Isser. So when the Gemara says, it doesn't mean exactly he should have tasted it the way it is. He should have been mafresh on a little bit, tasted that little bit, and decided if it's right to be mafresh from these kishas onto everything else. Now the Aruch Haner explains that Tosfos holds that he couldn't just taste it and spit it out, or just lick it to see whether it's bitter or not. Because the Taz and Shach, in the beginning of Simon Tzadik Ches and Yerideya, both hold that it's usur to taste a dvar isur even without swallowing it, even by just licking it. Therefore, Tosfos says that he has to actually be mafresh on a little bit and taste it, because there's no other way to taste tevel unless he's mafresh. The Tiferes Yisrael in Perakimul Mishnah Aleph and Trumois on this Mishnah argues in Tosfos, and he says, since over here it's only a suffic isur, because maybe the kishas are actually not royal l'machal adam b'chlal. The whole tevel over here is a suffik. By suffik iser, the Taz holds that there is no iser to lick. The whole iser is in the Rabbanon. Since it's a suffik, we're makel to lick an iser that may not be usser at all. Now, even according to the Shach, that holds by a suffik we have to be machmer unless there's something like a roiv that says he's not going to taste any iser, still the Shach also would be makel over here, since the Isra we're dealing with is Tevel of Kishos. Tevel of Kishos is only an Isra d'Rabbanon. Since it's a suffik, if it'll be an Isra d'Rabbanon, the Shach would also be Maida that it's mutter to be melachich, to lick it, to see if it tastes bitter. And therefore, when the Gemara says, Yiboy lele mitmei, doesn't mean the way Tosfos says he should have been mafresh, tasted a bit, and then decided whether he could be mafresh on everything else. Yiboy lele mitmei means he should have tasted it without being mafresh, because it's a suffik Isra d'Rabbanon, and to lick a suffik iser d'rabbanon, even the shach will be mekel. Tosfos asks the kasha, why do we say that if somebody is mafresh yayin on other wine, and it turns out that the truma he gave was chaimitz, over there the truma is not truma at all? By kishay serimsis mara, we say that it's truma v'yachzer v'yitraim. Why by yayin v'nimsa chaimitz do we say it's not truma at all? So Tosfos answers, yayin v'nimsa chaimitz is a much bigger toast. Even according to the Chum that hold, the Yayin and Chaimitz are one min, but it still has two separate names. Therefore, such a toast, we're going to say the Truma is not Chal at all. However, Tosfos brings the halacha is, if somebody is Mavresh b'mezid Chaimitz and Yayin, it is Truma. The reason is because there's sometimes Chaimitz is more Meshubach. Some people may want Chaimitz actually more than they want wine, and therefore, if he's Mavresh Chaimitz and Yayin b'mezid, it will be chal. Masha'en kein, kishos that were bitter, that he knew about, Miroshi was b'mezid, or he was mafresh me'at tamei, alator b'mezid, it's not chal, because nobody ever wants tamei instead of tohar, nobody ever wants mara instead of regular sweet kishos. Tosfos afterwards brings the Yerushalmi that says the halacha of Yayin v'nimsa chaimitz is going according to Rebbe that holds Yayin and chaimitz are two minim. But Elchanami, according to the Chachamim, that Yayin and Chaimitz are one min, it would actually have the same halacha of Kishos and Nimtzes Mara, that B'Shoig would be Truma V'Yachzer V'Yitroim. What comes out of Tosfos is there are several Madregas. There's a Madrega of
Tomei ala Torah b'shoigeg. That the Mishnah says simply is truma. Then there's the next madrega of kishoy serim tzismara, which is a shoigeg, but it's a shoigeg karv l'mezid. In such a case, we say truma v'yachzor v'yitraim according to everybody. There's a third madrega of tomei ala Torah b'mezid, where the Mishnah says la'osav la'iklum. We have two shitas in the Gemara. What does that mean? According to Rav Chista, it's not chal at all, because if we say it's truma and we tell him to bring other truma, what's going to happen is Osilam Mishnah, he's going to come be Pesheya and not give the second truma. Rav Nosson Rav Moshe argues and he says truma v'yachzor v'yitraim. The truma that he was mafresh is chal. Just the Chacham katzen him and said he should give another truma. Why isn't Rav Nosson Rav Moshe a choshesh for Rav Chista's chashash that Osilam Mishnah, that if we say that the first truma is chal, he's not going to be maskin to give a second truma? The answer is because Rav Nosson Rav Moshe holds, like the Gemara says in Amud Beis, that ein koyach b'yan chachamim lakar davar min ha-Torah. The chacham don't have a koyach to undo a truma that midiraisa is chal. There's a fourth madrega that in two kalim, betray mani as the Gemara calls it. If somebody is mafresh from a otz she'enu nokov, which is not chayiv in trumas and maisa ben adiraisa, on a nokov, over there it says truma v'yachsa v'yitraim and there Rav Chista is maida. The reason is, if it's betray money, it's in two kalim, we're not cheshish osi lemifsha if we tell him give a second truma. Since it's in two separate kalim, he'll understand more why he has to give a second truma, and therefore we're not cheshish dilma osi lemifsha, even according to Rav Chista. There's a fifth madrega of yayin v'nim sachaymetz, that over there, even if he was mafresh b'shoigig, according to Tosfos first mahalach, it's not truma at all, because that's a very big mistake. It's a ta'os tfei, as Tosfos calls it, and therefore it's not going to be chal even b'shoigig. Now the Rambam paskens like Rav Nosson Rav Moshe, that if somebody is mafresh min ha-tomei ala toir b'mezid, it's truma v'yachzor v'yitraim. The truma was mafresh as chal, and he has to give another truma. Now, the reason the Rambam paskens like Rav Nosson Rav Moshe and not like Rav Chista, because Rav Chista holds Yesh Kayach Be'er Chacham Lakar Davar Min HaTorah Bekom Ma'aseh. The Chacham can be Oikar the Truma, that's Chal Midi Raisa, and the Halacha is, as we see all over Shas, that Ein Kayach Be'er Chacham Lakar Davar Min HaTorah Bekom Ma'aseh. The Chacham don't have such a Kayach. Therefore, we don't pass like Rav Chista, we pass him like Rav Nosson Rav Moshe. Now, the Karen Oira tells a little bit, why is it Muchach that Rav Chista holds Yesh Kayach Be'er Chachamim Lachar Davar Min HaTorah Bekom Ma'aseh? Maybe he also holds that the Chachamim don't have such a Kayach, and when the Chachamim say that the Truma is not a Truma, that's considered a Shev Al Taisa. They're just saying that it shouldn't be Chalon, it's just Truma. All they're doing is that they're saying the Hafrasha, the Chalois Hafrasha's Truma that he's making shouldn't be Chal. The Karen Era writes, Lamaisa, that that's also considered Akira Stavra Menat. Since the Torah said the Truma is Chal, Bezin is saying that shouldn't be Chal, that's considered an Akira Stavra Menat. Now the Gemara asked the Kashan and Melson Berbaishia, just like somebody is Mafresh Min Einu Nokov Ala Nokov, which is Min Aptur Ala Chiyuv, it's not Truma at all. The same way, if somebody is Mafresh Min Atomi Ala Toir, it shouldn't be Chal at all, Bezin. Now Taisa explains the Gemara's Kashan that just like Min Anokov ala Einu Nokov is not going to be Truma Midiraisa, same way, Min Atome ala Torah is not going to be Truma Midiraisa. As the Gemara understands now, that if he is Mafresh Min Atome ala Torah, it's not Chal. The Torah said, don't be Mafresh Min Atome ala Torah, and he went ahead and was Mafresh, it's not going to be Chal. Now Taisus asks, if that's the case, then even by Shoigig we should say that it shouldn't be Chal. Why is the Kasha just on the Muslim Rabbi Shia? The Gemara should ask on the Mishnah itself. It says, "B'shoyg truma say truma." If it's also the mafresh min atomei ala tor, so that too shouldn't be chal. So Taisus explains, the Torah says, "Loisisu alochet barim chamitzchel b'mimenu," that the Torah is makbid only by mezid. If he did it b'shoygig, since there's no nesius chet b'shoygig, when a person does an avera b'shoygig, there's no nesius chet. Therefore, the pasuk's not talking about it, and therefore the truma is chal. Now, L'chayr it's mochach from what Taisa says, that when somebody does an averas lav b'shoigeg, it's not considered an asiyas chayt. That works in tandem with Shitas and Raman in the beginning of Parshas Vayikra. The Raman writes there, the reason the Taisa doesn't explain what karbonos there are for a person who's over a shingas lav is because the Shikas Lav is not an Asiyas Chet. He wasn't over anything, and therefore he doesn't have to bring a carbon for a kapara. That's what Taisa says over here. If he was Mafrish, Menatome Alator, B'Shagig, there's no Asiyas Chet. However, there are many Rishonim who argue on the Ramban, it's Mochak on the Ramban, in the beginning of Hilchas Tshuva, that if somebody does an Averis Lav B'Shagig, he definitely needs a kapara. Now the Gemara answers that mineral ayofa, the reason it's chal is because from a daik from the pasuk v'loisiswal v'chet v'arimich maschel v'imimenu. And the Gemara's medayik im enoi kadosh nesias chet lam. If it's not kadosh, if it's not chal, where's the avera? Therefore, it's mukhach from the pasuk that when somebody is mafresh mineral ayofa and likewise minatom elator, it's going to be chal even though he did an avera. The Gemara proves that from when it says v'loisiswal v'chet. If it's not Kodesh, where's the Rechet? It wasn't Chal at all. There's no Avera. Eloma, it's Mochach that it's Chal. Taisus and Tmura, and the Taisus Yishanim over here, ask, what's the Raya that it's Chal? Maybe it's not Chal. Where's the Nesias Chet? What Avera did he do? His Avera is that he tried to be over a member of the Rechmanah. He tried to do something the Torah said not to. But it's not Mochach that there's the Chalois of Rosh Hashanah. The Nesias Chet is for trying. When the Gemara says, if it's not Kodesh, why is there a Nesias Chet? Taisa says, I'll tell you why there's a Nesias Chet. Because he tried to do an Avera. What's the Raya that it's Chal? So Taisa Yishanim over here answers that when the Pasuk says a Lashon, V'laisisu olav Chet, it's mashma that leaves a Roshim, it's mashma that it stays, and the Avera has a Kiyum. If the Truma wasn't Chal, Minero alayofa, the Lashon of the Pasuk wouldn't be a lashon of nesius chet. Therefore, we have a raya that the truma of ruala yofa is actually chal. Taisus in Tmur Dafei gives a different heritage. Taisus says that if the pasuk was just telling me that he did an avera, then why does that have to say that v'leisis ruala of chet? Every time he tries to do an avera, he's noisei a chet. It's muchach from the fact that the pasuk stresses the idea of a nesius chet, that the truma is actually chal. Otherwise, when the pasuk says v'leisisu olav chet, those words should be redundant. The Taisus Yishanim, as we mentioned, learns from the mashmos of the words of nesius chet, and Taisus and Tmura learns from the fact that they are right. It's muchach that there is a chalais of truma, because if not, the words of v'leisisu olav chet would be redundant. For trying to do an aver, there's always a chet. Elomah, if the Torah is writing v'leisisu olav chet, the Torah is trying to teach us that there's something more than just an Avera happening, the Truma is actually Chal. Now there's a kasha that Karen Ayra asks on all the cases that we mentioned before that we say Truma v'yachzor v'yitraim. Karen Ayra asks, why do we say that? I have a much better idea. Let him be Shayel, let him be Mater Neder, so to speak, be Shayel on the Truma, and therefore he will only have to be Mafresh one truma. Why don't Chazal give that as an eitz instead of saying truma v'yachzor v'yitraim? So the Yochanan Boyaz over there in Trumas Paragimel Mishnah Aleph deals with this kasha, and the crux of what he answers is he's talking about a case where itaka can't be mater neder. But if he could, then of course that would be an eitzah, and he wouldn't have to give two trumas. Over there it's talking about he couldn't find the Pesach, and therefore Chazal say truma v'yachzor v'yitraim. But without the technical problem that he can't do a Taras Nedarim over there, it definitely would be an Eitzah as well to be Shayel, and then he'll only have to give one Truma. Now the Gemara then brings another Raya, the Eshkeich B'yad Chachamim, Lakar Dovah Min HaTorah, from the fact that if a man is Mekadosh a girl, Kedusha Emiyun, she's a Ketana, Midirais the Kedushan or not Kedushan, still, he Yarshans her, as a husband who Yarshans his wife, even though Min HaTorah she's not his wife, and her father should be Yarshaning her. So we see Yeshkoyach B'yad Chachamim to be Iker something when I tell you. So the Gemara answer is no. There it's different Hefker, Bezen Hefker. Even if we say that the Chachamim don't have a Koyach B'yad Chachamim when I tell you, but when it comes to money, we say Hefker, Bezen Hefker. What's the Makar for that? So there are two Shittas in the Gemara. According to Rabbi Yitzchak, the Raya is from Ezra. Ezra consented. Whoever doesn't come with him, that Yochram Kol Ruchushay, he was Mafker the Rishus. So you see that Bezdin has a kayach to expropriate one's money from its owner. According to Belozer, the Gemara learns from Belozer HaKayin in Yeshua Ben Nun that the Pasuk says, Eila hanachlois asher nachalu Elazar HaKoyin v'Yeshua Benun v'Rosh HaYovois l'matis b'nei Yisrael. The Gemara compares the Rosh HaYovois, the heads of the Shvatim, to fathers. Why are the heads of the Shvatim called Rosh HaYovois fathers? Just the Gemara learns from there, just like a father can be meirish to a son whatever he'd like, same way the heads of Klal Yisrael have a right to be manchel, the people of Klal Yisrael, whatever they'd like. You see from there that we say hefker bezden hefker. Now there are two different makayris. Is there a nafkamina from which pasuk we learn the din of hefker bezden hefker? According to the Yamshel Shleim and the Aruch Laner, there's a tremendous nafkamina. According to them, there's a machlekes amiroim how hefker bezden hefker works. Is it just a hefker that they can expropriate somebody's property from his bialis, but they can't transfer mammon from Reuven to Shimon? That's Shitas Rabbi Yitzchok, that he learns from Ezra, that Ezra said he's going to cancel the people and be machrim or machker their nechassim. But Ezra did not take away their nechassim and give it to somebody else. We don't see they have a kayach to actually transfer property. However, according to Rabbi Lazar, we see from Elazar HaKoyin and Yeshua Ben Nun and the Rosh HaYovois that the heads of Klal Yisrael have a din of fathers that they can give to whoever they want, to whatever they want. So that's a much stronger power. That means Hefker Besen Hefker, according to that Shita, is that Besen can actually take money from Reuven, transfer it to Shimon. However, the Nesivus HaMishpat in Simon Reish Lamed Hey and the Mekor Chaim in Simon Tov HaMches, Asif Kot and Tes, write that, of course, Hefker Besen Hefker, according to everybody, is only a Hefker. That's the Lashon of the Gemara. Hefker Besen Hefker. It doesn't say Haknas Besen Haknah. All the Besen can do is actually just be Mafkir and Mafkia the money from the Bialim. To transfer it to somebody else, that's impossible. What happens is, Chazal are Mafkia the money from the Bialim, and the beneficiary, whether he's doing a Kinyan Derabbanan or being Zeichan Yerusha Derabbanan, so on and so forth, has a right to be zeicha in the chayfetz that Chazal were mafker for him by doing a kinyan d'iraisa. If he wants to be zeicha in the d'iraisa, the Nesivus and the Mekor Chaim answer with this: why, if somebody is mekadesh nishim b'mayim et shloshton, it's clear that the kinyan is only d'rabbanon, the kiddushin is only d'rabbanon. Yet according to the shita that Yiyush helps with d'rabbanon, if he's mekadesh a woman with the chayfetz that was zeicha be Yiyush, and he only owns it with the Rabbanon, if he's Mekadesh an issue with it afterwards, she's Mekudesh as Mediraisa. The Nesivus asks, what's the difference? So the answer is, when the entire Kenyan is only Mediraisa, she's only Mekudesh as Mediraisa. Because Mediraisa, you can't be Makna something from one Rishus to another Rishus Mediraisa with a Kenyan Derabbanon. Hefker Besen Hefker doesn't transfer property. Masha'enken, if the Gathlin was kind of Biyush, even if we say Yush is only the Rabbanon, but afterwards what happened is, since he's kind of afterwards the Kinyan Yad, or Kinyan Chatzar, or any other Kinyan that's Zaycha Minat Teira, he had a right to be Zaycha in it, Medir Aysa. Hefker Best and Hefker. So even if it starts out as a Kinyan de Rabbanon, but once it's Hefker Best and Hefker, it's lying in front of him with Din Hefker sanctioned by Chazal. So he has the right to make a Kenyan D'Araisa. The same way he can pick up anything that's Hefker and be Zeichen with D'Araisa, Kenyan Yad, or Kenyan Chatzar, the same way, if he picked up something that he was Zeichen at Midrabanon only, sure, the Chachom are not Makta to him with D'Araisa, but they're Mafkir to him. And if he made a Kenyan D'Araisa afterwards, so this ring that he was Zeichen at Midrabanon B'Yush is technically Hefker with D'Araisa to him. Therefore, if he makes a kinyan yad afterwards, he's eichel mediraisa. Mashenkin lemaim et shloshtan. There is no actual hagbah of money. There's no yad. There's no chazar. All that's happening is a purely derabbanon dike kinyan. He's transferring it mediraisa. Mediraisan, it will work. Mediraisa, that won't make it hers, and therefore the kedushin is only kedushin derabbanon. The Machne Ephraim in Hilchas Kinyan Mashiach Siman Beis writes the same as the Nesivus, that Hefker Besen Hefker is not an actual transfer of Nechasim from one Rishus to the other, rather, it makes it Hefker, and therefore it's a Hechatimsa for the person that Chazal want to be Zeich in it to make a Kinyan D'Araisa. The Nafkamina between these Shitas are, if let's say Yerushas HaBaal is Drabonon. Let's say he's being yarshening his ishtei ktana. According to the sheet that Hefker Bez and Hefker is Akno, he's Zoicha in the Nechasim of the Raisa. According to the Mandomer, Hefker Bez and Hefker stays Hefker, but it's not a Hakno, so he doesn't own him in Atayra. However, if he wants to, he can make a Kenyan Dir Aisa and then be Zeichan Erman Dir Aisa. Now, in Shuvas Chasam Sefer, Archaim Sim Kuf Yud Zayin, Chasam Sefer understands that according to the Sheet, the Kenyan Dir Abonon doesn't help Min HaTayra. Everyone knows there's a big Machlaikis Rishayim in Sukkah, in the beginning of the third parak, whether someone makes a Kenyan Dir Abonon, does it help to become his, even on a Dir Aisa level? Does the Torah recognize it as his? Chasam Sefer writes in the Tshuva that according to the Shita, the Kinyan Derabanan doesn't help Min HaTorah, it's because Hefker Bez and Hefker is not a Hakno. It's just a Hefker, but it doesn't actually make it belong to the Kaina. And it comes out from the Chasam Sefer that according to the Manda Omar, that Kinyan Derabanan is Moil Deraisa, that's because that Shita holds that Hefker Bez and Hefker is an actual Hakno, it's an actual transfer of Rishus. So this Machlaikis that we find between the Marshal and Orchaner against the Nesivis and the Machne Ephraim really is a Machlaikis Rishayim, according to the way the Chasam Sefer understands. It's Machlaikis Rishayim whether Kinyan Derabanan is Manili Diraisa. The Avnim Lum and Simon Chav Chesiv Kotten Lamed Gimel also says in a similar vein that according to the Shita, that Kinyan Derabanan helps for Diraisa, it's because Hefker Bez and Hefker. You see that the Avnim Lum is learning that the Shita that holds that Hefker Bez and Hefker is an actual Hakno will hold that Kinyan Derabanan is Mahanili Diraisa. The two Machlaikis that we mentioned are really intertwined. If you hold Kinyan Derabanan is Mahanili Diraisa, that means you hold that Hefker Bez and Hefker can actually do a Hakno. If you hold Kinyan Derabanan doesn't help Diraisa, it's because you hold Hefker Bez and Hefker is only within Hefker, and it's not that Chazal actually transferred the property to Yerushus. But it comes out, according to what we're saying, there should be a chiddush lahalacha, that even according to the Manda Omar, Kinyan Derabanan doesn't help l'shel Taira, but still, if afterwards he made a Kinyan Deraisa, it should help. Let's say somebody bought a lulav with a Kinyan Derabanan, and on the first day of Sukkot, it has to be lochem m'deraisa. And even if somebody is chayshish, the Kinyan Derabanan is ein mayel m'deraisa, but if he picks it up afterwards, and even when he's kinyan m'deraisa, let's say he made Kinyan Yad, then for sure it'll be lochem. Because the Kinyan Derabanan, even if it doesn't make it yours, Min HaTorah, but the least it does is it allows it to be Hefker to allow you to make a Kinyan Deraisa. So therefore, even if somebody was claiming something with Derabanan, if afterwards you made a Kinyan Deraisa, L'kuli Alma should be help, even if you hold that a Kinyan Derabanan doesn't actually make it yours, Min HaTorah. Now the Gemara continues to try to prove that Yesh Kayach Bian Chachamim Lakar Dover Min HaTorah. The Gemara says, how does the Braisa allow a man who's a Kayin, who's Mekadish and Isha, Ketana, Kedushay Miyun, to be Metame to her when she dies, like a regular husband is Metame to his wife? Mediraisa, the Kayin can't be Metame to her. The Kedushin is only Kedushay Derabanan. How did the Chachamim allow him to be Metame against the Isser of Tumas Kehanim? It's Mochach from there, the Yesh Kayach Be'an Chachamim, Lakar Dov Menat Torah. So the Gemara answers, she's like a Meis Mitzvah. The Gemara asks, why is that? Why is she a Meis Mitzvah? Meis Mitzvah is only somebody that doesn't have somebody who will bury them. And here she has family. So the Gemara answers, since he's going to Yarshan her, as we mentioned earlier, so if she calls them to bury her, they won't come. They figure she has a husband who's Yarshaning her. Let the husband bury her. Therefore, she's considered as a Meis Mitzvah. Now, Taisa asks Akash on this. Why do we say she's a Meis Mitzvah? In our Mishnah, where a woman married based on false edus, that her husband died, and her husband came back, the halacha is that her first husband cannot be metami to her, if he was a kohen, yet he yarshins her. So we see that there's a case where the husband yarshins, he's not metami to her, and we don't say she's a meis mitzvah. Why not? Why don't we say he's the one who yarshins her, the family won't be asking him to bury her? Taisa asks another kasha. According to this logic in the Gemara now, that whenever the husband yarshins his wife, she's considered a meis mitzvah, so a kohen gadol and a nazir should be able to metami to their wives, and to those that are meirish, their yerusha to them, if there's no other yarshim, because they should be a meis mitzvah. If the Gemara is telling us that if the husband yarshins his wife, or someone yarshins the nifter exclusively, the person who died is considered a meis mitzvah, so then a kohen gadol and a nazir should always be able to mitame to their wives, and we know that halacha is not like that. Also, Taisus asks, what do we need a pasuk for that a husband is mitame to his wife? Automatically, he's mutter to mitame to her because she's a meis mitzvah, he yarshins her. So Taisus answers, of course, the Gemara over here doesn't say midiraisa she's a meis mitzvah. It's only midirabonon that we look at her as a meis mitzvah based on the svara that Taisus said before in Daf Peches. Whenever something seems proper to be misakein, even if it's being oikar davar min ha-Torah, since it's a davar hogun, it's something that's mistaber to do, Chazal have a kayach in such a case to be oikar davar min ha-Torah. Therefore, over here, since Chazal see it fit for her husband to metapa with her and bury her, Chazal gave it a din of meis mitzvah, and that doesn't have a din of akir sarva min ha-Torah, since it's something that's mistaver, it's something that's proper. But of course, min ha-Torah is not a meis mitzvah. There are other Jews around. They could be metame to her, and the kohen wouldn't have to be. That sheet is a taisus. The Ramban has a different mahalach in the sugya. The Ramban understands that she's not mamash a meis mitzvah. What she is she's like a family member. The Torah wants her to not be nisgana. Kavod HaBri is something very important. That's why the Torah allows for tumas krovim by kehanim, even though theoretically somebody else could bury them. But the Torah wants the kfura to be mzumenes, it should be done immediately, and the krovim are the ones who are roy to metapel in it. So over here, the Chachamim said that it's roy for the husband who's yarshining her to be metapel with it. It has the same idea as tumas krovim. It's not mamash a meis mitzvah, it's daima to a meis mitzvah. It really is the same reasoning that the Torah was matter for kehanim to bury the relatives. Since he's yarshining her, and it's only fear that he should be the one to be metapel with the kvura, therefore, if we say that he can't let other people have to do that, it's going to be ignai for her, and therefore, the Torah allows the krovim, and here, in this case, the Chachamim allowed the husband, the midrabanan, to bury her. The Rashba is not happy with the smahalach and the Ramban. He asks, if that were the case, then why, by achosei be'ula, can a kohen not be metame? She's his responsibility, she's his sister, he's the one who's closest of kin, and it's mutl on him to bury her. Why does the Torah not allow him to be metame to her? Why does the Torah make somebody else bury her? The Rashba has a different mahalach entirely. The Rashba learns that the reason the Gemara says she's like a meis mitzvah over here is because since he's yashing her midirabanan only, the Yerushim are makbid. The Yerushim say, one second, she's not his wife. Why is he yashining her? If he's yashining her and he's not her real husband, he's going to yashin, let him bury. And since the Yerushim are makbid and they won't come to be metabol in the kfura, she really is a meis mitzvah, me'ikar adin. Midiraisa, it's not his job to bury her. Midiraisa, she's not his wife. But since there's nobody else who is going to be metabol with her, she really, according to the Rashba, is a meis mitzvah midiraisa. And therefore the tumah is mutter for him. He's allowed to bury her, he's allowed to be metame to her, and he doesn't have to hire anybody else. Just like a regular case of meis mitzvah, the kohen doesn't have to spend his money to hire people to bury the meis. He's allowed to do it himself. The Torah was mater tumas meis to a kohen b'makom meis mitzvah here too. Since she's a meis mitzvah, the kohen could be metame to her, and he doesn't have to hire people to bury her. Masha'en kain, by a chosei be'ula, it's his responsibility to bury her. He's her kariv. He's achroi to make sure that she gets a kfura. Or by ishtoi psula, it's his responsibility to make sure that she gets a kfura. Therefore, we're not going to be matter him to metame himself. Let him hire somebody, and this way he won't have to become tame. The only time we say it's a meis mitzvah is when it's not his responsibility in Torah. Like this wife who is in Skadish Tehim Kedushay Miyun. She's not really his wife in the Araisa. However, Ishtay Psula or Achoyse Be'ula, that the Torah does not allow him to be metavit to her, even though nobody else will be metavit with him, they don't have a dinner of a meis mitzvah, so let him hire people to bury them. Now, regarding Taisus Kasha, why in the Mishnah does the first husband yarshin the wife, yet he's not metavit to her? why don't we say that she's a meis mitzvah according to the Rashba? So the Rashba answers, it's different by ishtei ktana than the case of the Mishnah, where by ishtei ktana we say she's a meis mitzvah because the yashens her, and in the Mishnah we don't say she's a meis mitzvah, and it can't be matami to her even though he yashens her, because when she's ishtei ktana and she's not his wife mediraisa, it's just kedushin derabbanan. The yashen are very makbid. They say it's not his wife and he's yashening her, we're not going to bury her. However, when she went ahead and married Shlokedin and became usher to her husband, they understand she's usher to him. He can't be metamit her, but she is his legitimate wife, Menatayra, and that's why he's going to yarshin her. On that, the yarshim are not going to be makbid, and therefore she doesn't have a din of a meis mitzvah. To summarize, according to Tosfos, the reason the husband is metamit to her, because although Menatayra, she's definitely not a meis mitzvah, as we see from Kohen Gadol and from Menazer, that they're not metamit to their wives, still, since it's a dover hagun, it's a dover mistaber, for the chum to allow him to metami to her, he does yashin her, therefore she does seem to be somewhat like a meis mitzvah, with the rabbanon al kaponim, therefore the chum have a right to allow him to metami to her, even though it would seem that it's an akira star from an atayra, since it's something that's mistaber, they have a kayach to do that. That's Taisus' mahalach. The Ramban learns he's mutter to metami to her, not because she's really a meis mitzvah. It's something more like the regular case of Tumas Krovim. She's mutl on him to bury her. She's his responsibility. It's covered up bris for the Torah to allow him to bury her, just like the Torah allows the Kehanim to be metame to their seven Krovim. The Rashba learns that it's a case of meis mitzvah min haTorah, since she's not his wife mediraisa, it's not his responsibility to bury her. Nobody else will bury her. The yarshim are makbid. He's not even her husband mediraisa, and he still yashens her. The yarshim will be very upset. They won't understand, and therefore they won't bury her. Mediraisa, the Rashba learns that she has the din of a meis mitzvah, and therefore he's allowed to be matami to her. And more than that, he doesn't have to spend money to hire people to bury her if she's his responsibility to bury, such as a case of Achoisei Bu'ula, where the Torah says that he's not allowed to be metamit to her, or Ishtei Psula, where the Torah says he's not allowed to be metamit to her, but she's still his responsibility, she's still his Karev. In such a case, the Torah says that the Kohen can't be metamit to her, but the Kohen has to hire people to bury her. This way, the Kavod HaBri is not compromised. The husband of the Ishtei Psula, the brother of the Achoisei Bu'ula, will make sure that she's buried. On the other hand, he won't become Tomei Shalekedin. Masha Enkein, when she's his wife Medir Abonon, and therefore she'll have a status of Meis Mitzvah Medir Raisa, because the Yarshim aren't going to bury her, in such a case, he's allowed to be Metamei to her himself, because by Meis Mitzvah there's no Isser Tumas Meis at all. Now, Melchon extrapolates from the Rashba that says that when a person is mutter to metame to a meis mitzvah, he doesn't have to spend money to hire people to avoid being metame, and it's not called efshel lekayim shneim. But the Chanan brings a raya from there to be pashut the chakira of a shver Meir Atlas. Meir Atlas was chayker. What's the din if somebody has to eat a kezayis of matzah? He has two kezayis in front of him. He has one kezayis that's made out of chadosh. Now, the halacha is chadash is asr, but the kal is esa deicha lois asay. The asay of matzah would be deicha, the lois asay of chadash, theoretically. On the other hand, he has another kezayis of matzah that's available, made out of yashon, but to get that kezayis of yashon, it would cost him more than chaymish menachosim. It would cost him more than a fifth of his entire net worth, and the halacha is that a person is not allowed to spend more than a fifth of his value in order to be kayim a mitzvah. Yet the halacha is also that in order to avoid doing a lav, one must give away all his nechasim. Now, what do we do in this case? He has to eat a kezayis of matzah. The first kezayis of matzah is made out of chadosh, esadei chaloisasei. It's mutter for him to eat the kezayis of matzah. On the other hand, he can eat a kezayis of yashon without being over the lav. In order to eat that kezayis of yashon, though, he's going to have to spend more than a fifth of his nechasim. But
by eating this kezayis of yashan, he's going to avoid doing the lav of chadash. In order to avoid doing a lav, one must spend all his nechasim. And the klal is, by esed echalaisa, say, if it's efshel akayim shneim, if it's possible to do the assay without being over the lav, we don't say esed echalaisa assay. So do we say in this case, he's mechuyiv to spend more than achayim b'shav as nechasim in order to do the assay and not be over the lav? So Rabbi Chanan is poshet this chakira from the Rashba that we brought before. Just like the Rashba says that when a kohen bumps into a meis mitzvah, he's allowed to be metameter, even if he has money, he doesn't have to hire workers to bury the meis mitzvah. He can do it himself. The Torah did not demand of him to spend money in order to bury the meis mitzvah. And although he can, it's not called efshel l'kayim mishnayim. Something the Torah doesn't demand of you is not considered efshel l'kayim mishnayim. The same thing over here. He could eat the matzah that's chadash, and we'll say esedai chalaisa, or we could say efshel l'kayim mishnayim, and it can be mitzi more than l'kayim mishnayim in the chasim, and not be ever the lav. Since to do an assay, the Torah does not demand or even allow a person to spend more than a chayim b'shav as nechasim, it's not considered efshel l'kayim shteim that he could do the mitzvah without being over the lav. Since there's no chiyuv to do the mitzvah of matzah by spending more than a chayim b'shav as nechasim, it's not considered efshel l'kayim shteim that he can buy a different kezayis of matzah with more than a chayim b'shav. That's not part of the equation. That's not called efshel l'kayim shteim. And therefore, he's allowed to eat the kezayis of matzah made out of chadash, and it's not called efshel l'kayim shteim by spending more than chaimish nechasav. As the Rashba says, that's not called efshel l'kayim shteim when the Torah doesn't require it of you.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a Daf or Masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.